that. Psalm chapter 9 in your Bibles. I know we just flipped everything on you, but Pastor will explain Psalm chapter number 9 in your Bibles. We'll give you an opportunity to turn there with us today. Psalm chapter number 9 in your Bibles today. And if you would please stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. This morning we're going to read one verse of Scripture together, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Psalm chapter number 9 in your Bibles this morning. And I want you to look down in verse number 14, and that's the verse that we will read together this morning. Psalm chapter number 9, and let's read verse number 14 all together. Ready? That I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. Let's read it one more time together. Psalm chapter number 9 and verse number 14. Ready? That I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. And God, we thank you for this time together. We've enjoyed it. Thank you for the good singing that we've enjoyed together, the congregational music. Lord, it's been fun. It's been enjoyable to sing together and to lift our voices in praise to you. And Lord, we do pray that you would continue to help our church, Lord, just to be a singing church, an excited church. Lord, thank you for the good choir specials this morning, how they stirred our hearts. And Lord, we surely enjoyed that. And Lord, thank you for the good number by the orchestra this morning. Boy, they've done a great job. And we appreciate all the practice that they've done. And thank you for giving them their talents. Lord, we thank you for the special that we're about to enjoy. But Lord, all these things, Lord, have really one common focus, and that is the preaching of the Word of God to prepare the hearts for the preaching. Lord, you know the need of the hour. Lord, better than we know, you know better than our pastor knows, you know better than I know or anybody else in this building today. Lord, you know, and I pray that your will would be done. Lord, we would pray that you would touch our preacher, give him discernment and wisdom. And Lord, I pray that you touch him and help him as he preaches today. God, fill him up fresh and new that he may preach with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that the words would not fall on vain ears, but I pray that we would heed the word that is preached. Not only hear it, but heed the word. And I pray, God, if there might be one today that's lost and they don't know you as their personal Savior, God, please save them today. I pray they'd be saved before it's eternally too late. We love you now. Thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Father, Master, and Lord, King of all kings and rulers. was awesome. Awesome. You know why it's so awesome? Because he's worthy. He is worthy this morning. I appreciate you being in the Lord's house today. And we're doing a little change up. I appreciate Brother Zach. He works real hard at getting these backdrops up for us. And I appreciate the time and the effort he puts into that. And that's what I was going to preach on today. I was going to preach on the precious old book. I'm still going to preach on it. It might be Wednesday night. I'm not going to preach on it this morning. And God has changed my direction a little bit. I came to church this morning with two sermons in my Bible and not sure which direction to go. And I've been praying for direction. And so I believe that this is the way the Lord would have us to go this morning. And so we'll just trust the Lord. The Lord knows what he's doing. As we talked about in Sunday school class, he's already there, amen, before we get there. And he knows all about it, and so we'll just trust him. But this morning, I was bothered in my spirit, and I be honest, I was looking forward to the message that I'm going to bring later on. But I just felt like God would have us change our direction a little bit this morning. I try to put a good amount of study in. I know it don't seem like that sometimes, but I try to put a good amount of study in to my preaching, and very seldom, very, very seldom to ever just get a sermon together on Sunday morning before church starts. That's just not the way I do it, but the Lord said go a different direction, so we're going to go a different direction this morning. I want to preach this morning on the subject, four great things about salvation. Four great things about salvation. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're sure that you're sure that you're sure that you're saved, well, I hope today will be the day that you'll trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And somebody says, well, preacher, I am a good church member. And that's not what I said. And I mean that respectfully, but that's not what I said. I didn't ask, are you sure that you're sure that you're sure that you're a good church member? I didn't ask, are you sure that you're sure that you're sure that you were baptized? I didn't ask, are you sure that you're sure that you're sure that you're a good person? You say, preacher, I'm registered to vote, and I'm going to vote, and I'm a good citizen, and I try to be very, very involved in our community. And all those things are great, by the way. I'm all for that. You say, pastor, I'm a good dad. That's wonderful. Boy, we need some good daddies. Oh, my soul, we need some good daddies. You say, preacher, I'm a good mother. Wonderful. I'm so glad that you're a good mother. Or maybe you're a young person here today, and you say, well, preacher, I don't cause my parents a lot of problem, and I try to be pretty obedient. Good. That's wonderful, and that's exactly what you ought to do. But that's not what I asked this morning. Are you sure that you're sure that you're sure that you're a good teenager? What I asked was, are you sure that you're sure that you're sure that you're on your way to heaven? Do you know that 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 you're on your way to heaven when you die? Somebody says, well, pastor, you see, bless your heart, you see, there's something you don't realize. Nobody can know that. I've heard people say that many, many times. And I respect them for their opinion, but quite honestly, that's all that it is an opinion. Because I have a Bible here this morning that says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I've never read the book. Someone said that that Charles Darwin, in his book on evolutionism, that Charles Darwin, in that book, 300 times he makes this statement, I suppose, I suppose, I suppose, I suppose, I suppose this, I suppose that, I suppose this. And I'm glad I have a Bible this morning. Never one time do I find a place in my Bible that says, I suppose. I'm glad I don't have a God that says, I think. I'm glad I don't have a God that says, well, you know, let me think on that. I'm glad I have a Bible that says, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a child of God and that you're on your way to glory. And so I want to speak on that subject just for a few minutes this morning. Four great things about salvation. I'm feeling better and better all along, all right? Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you so much for letting us be here today. And God, we thank you for this time that you've given us. And Lord, I pray now that you'll just help us as I preach just for a few minutes, not long at all this morning, just for a few minutes, not even really a message, maybe just a challenge. But I pray that you'll bless. God, as Brother Zach has already prayed, may it fall on fertile ground this morning. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you arrest the attention of all that are here Lord, you know I had a sermon outline completely prepared. I spent time, much time, prayer on it. But Lord, you said, no, go a different direction. And so, Lord, I believe probably because of that, I believe probably there's somebody here today that's standing in the need of salvation. Lord, wouldn't it be a terrible thing for somebody to sit in a service like this and to die and go to hell? Wouldn't that be terrible? Lord, wouldn't it be horrible for somebody to come to a place like this and to hear a song like Ms. Joyce just sang and then to hear a simple message on the plan of salvation and then to die and spend eternity in a devil's hell, a place that was not even created for them? Wouldn't that be terrible? I pray that'll not happen today. Father, save that one that's nearest hell. I pray you'd get attention today. God, help us. I pray for the fullness of the Spirit of God. I pray you'll help us now. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen and amen. Psalm 9, verse 14, we read that this morning. Brother Zach led us in that. Psalm 9, 14, the Bible says, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. Take your Bibles, if you will. Stay in the book of Psalms, but I want you to turn over to Psalm chapter 13, just a few pages over, Psalm chapter 13, and look at verse number 5 this morning. Psalm 13, verse 5. And the Bible says there, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Turn over just a few more pages to Psalm chapter 20 and look at verse number 5 this morning. Psalm chapter 20 and look at verse number 5. Psalm chapter 20, verse number 5. The Bible says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Then turn over just one page. Psalm chapter 21 and look at verse number 1. Psalm 21, verse 1. The Bible says, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. And then I want you to turn over to Psalm chapter 35 this morning. Psalm chapter 35 and look at verse number 9. In Psalm chapter 9 verse 14, the psalmist said that we will rejoice, or I will rejoice in thy salvation. And in Psalm 13 5, the psalmist said, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. And in Psalm 20 verse 5, he said, we will rejoice in thy salvation. And in Psalm 21 1, he said, in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. But look at Psalm 35 verse 9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. You know, folks, if I didn't know any better, I'd think that probably there was something special about this thing of salvation. The psalmist said time and time again, I will rejoice in thy salvation. I like this. Somebody said that Longfellow could take a worthless sheet of paper and write a poem on it and make it worth $6,000. That's genius. Rockefeller could sign his name to a piece of paper and make it worth millions. That's called capital. Uncle Sam can take gold and stamp an eagle on it and make it worth dollars. That's called money. A craftsman can take a material that's worth only $5 and make an article worth $50. That's called skill. An artist can take a 50-cent piece of canvas and paint a picture on it and make it worth $1,000. That's called art. But God, and only God, can take a life that's sinful, a life that's undone, a life that's on its way to destruction without joy, and take that life and wash it in the blood of Jesus Christ and put his spirit in it and make it a blessing to humanity. You know what that's called? That's called salvation. Amen. Hey, brother, capital cannot do that, and craftsmanship cannot do that, and riches cannot do that, and wealth cannot do that, but thankfully I've got a friend, and his name is Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you what, he can pick you up. I'm telling you, brother, he can put your feet out of the miry clay and set your feet on a solid rock and establish your going and save your unworthy soul and take you to heaven when you die. I'm telling you what, brother, this thing of salvation is a great thing this morning. Oh, listen, if you have salvation, you and I have something to be excited about today. Man, oh man, I'm telling you what, you've heard preachers say this before, but it's the truth. The happiest people in the world ought to be saved people. Man, we shouldn't go into work like the world does.
We shouldn't go into work, you know, all glum and down and depressed. And, brother, we shouldn't face problems like the world does. And we shouldn't face heartaches like the world does. I'm telling you, brother, I'm thankful that I've got God on my side. And the reason I do is because 29 years ago in a little country church, I came as an unworthy teenager, 15 years of age. And I came in a little pastor's office, a little pastor study / Sunday school office. And I talked to my pastor. And he told me the greatest story I've ever heard. He told me how Jesus came and how Jesus died. And that day I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And he saved my soul. And I've never been the same. Hey, I'm not perfect, but hallelujah, I'm forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven this morning. I'm telling you, this thing of salvation is a great, great thing. By the way, do people know you have salvation by looking at you? Do they know you have salvation because you are just so happy? You ever had people ask you that? Just what are you so happy about, you know? And I remember Brother Hiles used to tell that story. He was in the O'Hare Airport, I believe it was, and he was headed to a meeting to preach somewhere, and he's on an airplane. That's right, he was on an airplane. And he was just having a great day, and he was just, you know, just rejoicing in the Lord. And the stewardess came by, and he said she just stopped right there. And she said, "And just what are you so happy about?" He said, "Sit down and I'll show you." And he said, in just a little while, he led that lady to Jesus Christ. And she was able to go on her way a happy person. I'm telling you, brother, do people know that you have salvation by the way you smile? Do people know that you have salvation by your spirit and your attitude? Do people know that you have salvation by your gratitude and your thankfulness? Do people know that you have salvation by the way you treat your family and treat your coworkers and treat your church members? Do people know? I'm just saying this. You know what? People ought to know that there's something different about us. And the thing that's different should not be intelligence. And the thing that's different should not be education. And the thing that's different should not be our social status. The thing that ought to be different about every child of God that's here today is that we're saved and we're on our way to heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ lives within us today. Thank God there's something great about this thing of salvation. Now you say, "Preacher, what's great about it?" Very, very simply this morning. What's so great about salvation? Number one, salvation's free. It's free. It's free. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. I want you to turn your Bibles this morning. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 in your Bibles and look at verse number 8, if you would. Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse number 8 and notice what the Word of God tells us here. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. In your New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "Therefore, by grace are ye saved through faith." Notice this, "and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Boy, I tell you, what a blessing to be able to tell you this morning that salvation is free. It's free to you. It's free to me. It's free to your kids. It's free to your family members. Boy, salvation is free. You know what? Salvation is free to everybody. But may I remind you this morning that salvation was not free to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know our Bible tells us that Jesus left the splendor of heaven and Jesus came and allowed himself to be wounded and Jesus allowed himself to be bruised so you and I could go to heaven. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 and verse number 5, "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, thank God, we are healed." The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah also, in Isaiah 52:14, "As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." Young people, you know what that means? That means that Jesus, when Jesus came to die and Jesus took our sin upon him, the Bible tells us there in Isaiah that he was so brutally abused, he was so attacked, he was so viciously brutalized there at the cross. Isaiah said his visage was so marred more than any man. His form more than the sons of men. The word marred there means ruined. It means destroyed. It means perverted or corrupted. In other words, if Jesus would have survived the cross and not had to come and die for us, if Jesus would have survived, I guarantee you this, his form never would have been the same. He was totally disfigured. And I said this not long ago, but these little pictures you see of Jesus, and he's got a little crown of thorns on his head, and there's a halo around his head, and there's a little trickle of blood here, and there's a drop of blood here. Brother, let me tell you something. That's just an Italian's idea of what Jesus was all about. But I'm telling you, that is not a picture of how it was. I'm telling you what, brother, he suffered like no man has ever suffered. He agonized like no man has ever agonized. He was brutalized like no man's ever been brutalized. And not only that, but he suffered the sin of mankind upon him for you and for me. And Jesus did all of that. Why? So salvation could be free for you and for me. You know what? Did you know that's one of the hardest things to get through the minds of people nowadays? That salvation's free. They think there's got to be strings attached, because in life, there are strings attached to everything. Somebody said if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And I'll be honest with you, the message of salvation almost sounds too good to be true. And people believe that, you know what, there's no way that Jesus has paid it all, and all to him I owe, and sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. There must be something that I must do. But I'm telling you this morning, church, salvation is free of charge. The Bible tells us that it is the gift of God. Listen, you don't work for a gift. If I could use this illustration, we just got done with Christmas time. And a lot of you did the Christmas, the exchanging of gifts and things like that. Some of you had a lot, some of you had a few. But maybe you did the exchanging of gifts, and maybe some of you now, y'all get started real early. You've already started your Christmas shopping now for next year. You make me sick, by the way. All right? I'm just picking. But some of you, really, you plan way ahead, and that's great. I mean, honestly, that's great. And you start planning, and boy, you want to get just that right gift for your children, and you have it maybe 3 or 4 months ahead of time, and you have to hide it away because you know they're going to snoop around the house, and they're going to try to find it, and so you've got that hiding place. You know exactly where to put it, and then you do this. You wrap it up, and boy, you pick out just the right wrapping paper, and you wrap your son's present, and then you wrap your daughter's present. And then some of you ladies, maybe you know how to do those real pretty bows, and you'll put ribbon around that gift, and you'll put a real pretty bow on it, and you take the time to put little name tags on there, and you'll put their names on. I mean, you just really do all that kind of stuff, and you decorate the tree. And then the night before Christmas morning, boy, you set everything out just right. You got it organized out just right. And you know what? You are excited. You know what you're excited about? You are excited about giving your kids a gift. You know why? You love them. You love them. And you want to do something nice for them. And so let's say here's Christmas Eve. The kids go to bed. You walk in the living room or wherever you do Christmas at, and boy, you arrange all the packages just like I was saying. They're beautifully wrapped and ornate, and boy, the ribbons are just right. And you even take the time to fluff up some of the ribbons, and I mean, everything is just right. You've got their names on the top of the gifts so they can see their names, and boy, you're just, you know what, you can't hardly sleep because you're so excited about giving your kids something, and you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning. Your wife says, let's get up. Let's go ahead and get started. And you get up and you go in there and you jump on the kid's bed and you say, hey, it's Christmas time. Hey, Merry Christmas. Get up. And it's time to open presents. And boy, you run into the living room. And boy, there they are. There's those gifts, beautifully wrapped, beautiful ribbons on there. I mean, everything looks great. And your kids walk in and your daughter walks over to the sink and she starts washing the dishes. And your son gets up and he walks right past the gifts and he goes out and starts washing your car. And the other kids get up and they reach under the counter and they get the Windex and the paper towels and they start spraying the windows and they start washing all the windows. And you and your wife are standing there in front of the Christmas tree And there's all those presents, and you're saying, guys, it's Christmas morning. Hey, son, what are you doing? He says, well, Dad, I'm working for my gift. Sweetheart, what are you doing? She's over there washing dishes, and well, she's just sweating. I mean, she's washing dishes, and you say, honey, what are you doing? She says, I'm working for my gift. Wait a minute. You know what? That takes a lot of the fun out of it for you. You know why? Because they're not earning it. They're not working. Y'all with me this morning? They're not working it. You know what? It is a gift. It's something you've been planning for a long time. You couldn't wait. You were so excited. I mean, you love them so much. You'd be willing to take a bullet for them. And you couldn't wait to just give them those wonderful gifts. And here they are trying to work for them. And I wonder sometimes how God Almighty must feel. I mean, brother, when God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus came and he died and shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And here are people on earth and they're trying to do this and trying to do that and trying to shine up this and trying to shine up that. And God says, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to work my way to heaven, Lord. I'm trying to shine my way to heaven. I'm trying to speak my way to heaven. I'm trying to sow in my way to heaven. I'm trying to go church member to heaven. You know, I'm trying to baptize myself to heaven. And the Lord says, wait a minute. I gave my son for you. I give you the gift of salvation, not because you earn it, not because you work for it, but because I love you. Salvation is a free gift. You say, well, how do you get it, preacher? You just receive it. How do your kids get their gifts? They just, y'all know what they do. They don't wash no dishes, bless God. Y'all know that. Forget washing the car, but I mean, brother, you know what they do? They run in there, slide into first base. I mean, boy, they grab those gifts, start ripping them open, and they receive those gifts. Well, you know what? Salvation is the same way. We just receive it. We just come and we say, Lord, I know I don't deserve it. I know I can't work for it. I know you've provided the way. I know you've provided the plan. And Lord, I just receive it. Hey, salvation is free. But let me say this, salvation is fundamental. Now, what do you mean, Pastor? It's not salvation. I'm glad about this. It's not theologically deep. You don't have to be a scholar to understand salvation. You don't need a Bible college degree to understand salvation. In fact, you know what God said? God said, except ye come as a little child. That's what he's saying. I'll read it for you. Luke 18, verse 17. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. I'm just glad I can tell you, it's not about you understanding all of the Bible. You say, well, preacher, I'm still having some problems over there in Revelation, and I don't know if I can get saved until I get all that understood. I hope not, because I ain't got quite all that figured out myself yet. Amen? You don't have to understand all the Bible. You don't have to be a certain part of a denomination. You don't have to turn over a new leaf necessarily. That's not salvation. It's not becoming a member of a church. It's not confessing your sins to a priest. It's not memorizing big portions of Scripture. You need to understand, number one, that you are lost in sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how important you think you may be. It doesn't matter who your daddy is. You say, preacher, my daddy's a preacher. Doesn't matter if your daddy's a preacher or not. You know what? If you don't have Jesus, you'll die and go to hell. You say, preacher, my daddy's a deacon. Doesn't matter if your daddy's a deacon or not. If you die without Jesus, you'll die and go to hell. You say, preacher, my family have been charter members of a certain church for all their life. All my grandma and great-grandmas and great-great-grandmas are buried out in the cemetery, and we've been in that church all of our life. And praise the Lord for that. But, brother, I'm telling you what, you can be the greatest church member in all the world and still die in your sin and go straight to hell. I'm telling you, brother, it's not about being a church member, but it's by understanding that you and I are sinners that deserve to go to hell. But thank God we understand that penalty for our sins has been paid. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us that if we die in our sin, the Bible tells us that hell will be our destiny. For the wages of sin is death. I didn't write that. He wrote it. But oh, thank God it didn't end there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You need to understand you're a sinner. You need to understand that the penalty for your sin is hell. You need to understand that Jesus paid the price for your sin on Calvary's cross. I love that, Romans 5:8. But God, hey, brother, I'm telling you what, when everything was going bad, when everything was going downhill, when everything was about to fall apart, when I was about to die and go to hell, thank God, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm telling you, thank God he came, and Jesus died for the ungodly. I'll tell you what, thank God Jesus came and took my sin upon him and went to the cross, and there he died and paid my penalty on the cross of Calvary. You need to understand you're lost in sin. You need to understand the penalty for your sin is hell. You need to understand that Christ paid the price on Calvary's cross for your sin. And you need to understand that, listen, you need to trust Jesus alone to pay for your sin. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, well, preacher, I believe in God. You know, no, it's more than that. It's a conscious decision of the will. It's not just, well, you know, I believe there was a Jesus. No, there's more than that. It's more than just a head knowledge. Well, I seen that Jesus movie, and I watched that Passion of the Christ. I believe Jesus was here. No, it's more than that. It's a conscious act. It's a conscious act of the will. It's saying, you know what, I realize that I am lost and undone, and I need you as my Savior. The Bible says, to as many as received him. To them. Not to everybody. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Listen, salvation is fundamental. Let me just close today by saying this. Salvation's fantastic. Well, I think about the story I read about the man that had been saved out of a terrible life of drunkenness, alcohol, drug addiction. God saved him. God cleaned him up, and that man was called to preach, and he began to preach, and he was preaching on the street one day, and boy, he had gathered a crowd. I mean, the Lord had caused a crowd to come around, and he was just preaching Jesus, and he began to give his testimony. He said, you know, there was a time in my life when I was a drunk. There was a time in my life when I was an alcoholic, and I was headed on the road to hell, but he said, I'm thankful for the day that Jesus came by, and Jesus saved my soul, and Jesus changed my life, and Jesus put me to preaching. And boy, he was telling that. Folks were listening. And there was an atheist in the crowd who spoke up and said, ah, that ain't true. You're just dreaming that. You're just dreaming that, sir. And all of a sudden, when he said that and sort of got the crowd's attention, there was a little boy that was standing beside that atheist, and he reached up and grabbed that man's trousers, pulled on his pants. And that man looked down and he said, well, yeah. You want something? He said, sir. He said, you see that man up there preaching? Yeah, I see him. That's my daddy. That's my daddy. He said, my daddy used to drink real bad. My daddy'd come home and he said, my daddy beat my mama. And he said, my mom would cry a lot. She'd cry all day sometimes. And he said, yeah, we didn't have shoes to wear. And he said, sometimes my daddy'd drink up all the money. We didn't have groceries to eat. And he said, sometimes I'd go to bed at night and I was hungry and didn't have anything to eat. And he said, then something happened. He said, he met Jesus and Jesus saved him. He said, hey, sir. Yes. And he pointed to some shiny shoes on his feet. He said, you see them shoes? He said, I got shoes on my feet now. He said, you know what? I don't go to bed hungry anymore now. He said, we've always got food on our table now. He said, you know what? My mama don't cry all night anymore. He said, my mom and daddy love each other and they care for each other. And he said, our house is a good house and we have a happy home. And then he said that to this atheist. He said, if my daddy's dreaming, he said, whatever you do, don't you wake him up. Don't you wake him up. I'm telling you, thank God. Hallelujah. Three cheers. Brother, there ain't nothing quite like salvation. It'll take you out of the mire and put you in the choir. I'm telling you what, you say, preacher, what are you so excited about, brother? You know what? It's something worth getting excited about. Amen. I'm not against Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not against some of these social groups and social organizations. I'm not against that necessarily. But I'm just telling you this, brother, where they fall short and where they fail, Jesus picks up the slack. It's not about a program. It's not about a membership. It's not about a fellowship. I'm telling you, brother, it's about knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And here's the thing. If you're ever going to make it into heaven, you got to know Him. You say, well, preacher, let me ask you a question. If you died today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Oh, yeah, preacher. Yes, yes, I know. Wait a minute. A lot of folk answer quickly on that. I'm convinced a lot of people in our churches who say they're saved are really lost. Let me ask it like this. If you were to go to heaven, if you died today and you were to go to heaven, and all of a sudden you stood before the gates of glory, you're on the outside. The gates are locked. You knock on the gates, and all of a sudden Jesus appears on the inside of the gates. And you say, Jesus, I'm here. Let me in. And if Jesus were to say to you, why should I let you in my heaven? What would your answer be? Well, Jesus, I've been a good church member. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. Brother, if we got there by works, I'll guarantee you this, there'd be a lot of braggarts in heaven. Let me tell you how I got here. Let me tell you what everybody's testimony would be in heaven. Let me tell you how I got here, through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way I made it. Unworthy, unworthy, unworthy. But as Miss Joyce sang this morning, He's worthy, brother. He's worthy. And the only way you'll make it into heaven is through His righteousness. Have you ever come to a point in your life where you admitted not saved? I'm not going to heaven. And you realize that Jesus made the way. And publicly, consciously, you came to Him and said, I need your salvation. I believe what you did on the cross. I believe. I want your salvation. I accept you as my personal Savior. If not, today ought to be the day. I hope you'll come. Father, I thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this time we've had together today. Father, I pray that you're working hearts this morning. Lord Jesus, I pray you'll give us souls. Lord, I've tried to obey your will and follow your guidance. Father, I pray now that you'd help hearts to be open and very receptive and sensitive. And Lord, if there might be those here today, maybe young or old, but they're not sure that they're going to heaven, I pray today will be the day that they'll walk down this aisle like many have done before them. Many hundreds, thank the Lord, many hundreds, and maybe even thousands now, thank the Lord. Lord, have walked these aisles, and they've come forward, and let us help them from the Bible, show them how to get saved. Father, would you work today, please? And we thank you in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask all the young people to be very, very still just for a moment. You know, this is a serious, serious time, and I'll tell you why. Because right now, we're standing in between eternity. You know what? Some of you right now, you're at that fork in the road. Today will be the day you'll choose everlasting life, either in heaven or eternity in hell. That's why this is such an important time. And if you refuse today to accept Christ, you know what? Today could be your last opportunity. I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and I would never do anything to embarrass you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to try to come back and take you by the arm and bring you down the aisle. I don't do that at Calvary, and I'm not going to do it today. But just between you and Jesus,
I wonder how many would be real honest right now and you'd say, "Preacher, if I died today, if I died before I made it out of this building, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me?" And if that's you, would you just slip your hand up right now? Just slip it up. Thank the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you so much. God bless you, ma'am. Who else? Who else? Thank you, buddy. I appreciate your hand. Thank you so much. Who else? Pastor, that's me. If I died today, I'm going to be honest. I'm just going to be honest. I don't know I'd go to heaven. Would you please remember me? You'd slip your hand up. Anybody else like that? Come on. There you go. Thank you, young lady. Wonderful. Thank you, young lady. Thank you. All Christians, how we need to be praying right now. I saw at least four hands, I think, at least four hands. Who else? Come on, let's be honest this morning. Pastor, it's me. The Lord's dealing right now. He's dealing right now. The Holy Spirit's dealing right now. If I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray with me? You'd slip your hand up. Who else? Who else? Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. In just a moment, we're going to stand. Our heads will be bowed. We may sing in a little bit, but at least for now, our heads are going to be bowed. The pianist is going to continue to play, and Pastor's going to make his way down here to the front. And if Pastor's busy, there'll be somebody else down here. I've got some men down here. They're going to be here to help you. And if you raise your hand this morning and said, "Pastor, that's me, I'm not sure," would you have the courage to just step out and come and let us take from the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to spend eternity in heaven? Well, I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll do that today. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. As soon as we say amen to this prayer, I want you to come. Would you stand with us this morning, please? Heavenly Father, I pray. Oh, God, I pray. Father, that you would do a great work this morning. Father, I'm reminded of your love. Lord, you know what this time reminds me of? It reminds me of your mercy. Lord, because that means that you loved these folk that raised their hands. You loved them so much that you completely changed the direction of this service. You completely changed the direction that this pastor was going to go because you care so much about these that have raised their hands. Lord, may they not waste that. May they not take that for granted. God, I pray in just a moment they'll come and let us take the word of God and show them how they can know that they know that they know they're going to heaven when they die. Oh, God, help us, please. And Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The piano's